Church. And I want to say greetings as well to my friends on KCNW, Kansas City area, and WBXR in Huntsville, Alabama. Thanks for taking 15 minutes to join me. What everyone is going to hear today is a sermon I just preached last week. I've preached it before, 8 or 10 years ago. And once upon a time, I put the word if into my computer program, in a Bible computer program, to see what would happen. And I was shocked to see and find out that other than one promise, all of the promises of God are conditional. So I've entitled this sermon, If and Then. There's one intro. This will play 3 or 4 days. So if you'd like a copy of this, I think hopefully you know the drill by now, write to me or to make a comment. Maybe you want to comment on that program on the vaccine you heard the other day. Lay it on me. I'd love to hear from you. Paul@WMIEFM.com. Again, let me say, it's a bad idea for you to take that virus. You don't know what's in it. It's too darn eerily close to my Revelation chapter 13 that says no one can buy or sell except he that has it. That's enough to have me turn and look the other way. So, but anyway, this will play for the next couple days. If, and then, by the way, the only promise that's not conditional is I will never leave you or forsake you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Introducing the Apostle Paul. If God be for us, then who could be against us? He nailed that one. Speaking from experience, here's another one, number 9 on your handout. For if God did not spare the natural branches, then he might not spare you either. Wow, what a terrible threat. I'm glad that he said that and not me. I would never say anything as provocative as that. He goes on. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God, colon, on those that fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, that is the most conditional promise in all the Bible. But don't sit around and tell me nothing is required of you. Because something is required of you. Crossing the finish line in faith is required of all of you. Doing something with the talents or talent that God has given you is required of you, all of you. The Bible is quite clear that putting it in the bank until he returns is not going to cut it. Something is required of all of you. Church, the message is clear to every soul throughout the entire church age. Persevere to the end. Cross the finish line in faith. Continue in the faith. Don't give up the fight. Sin is crouching at your door. And just like the Uncle Sam poster, its desire is for you. Fight the good fight of faith. All right, now let's end this sermon with the most famous if and then of all time. Turn with me, please, back to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. It's number 10 on the back of your two-sided handout. First two-sided handout I think I've ever had. Second Chronicles. After Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Guess what the first word is? If my people. So this is someone speaking who can keep promises. If my people, who are called by my name. People say to me, well, that's just for the Jews only. You don't. I hate Christians when they quote that. All right, let me rephrase that. This is for all people that consider themselves the people of God. If you consider yourselves part of the people of God, then he's talking to you. If you're not of the people of God, then you're wrong. Because he's talking to us, Old and New Testament. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, I didn't even have to add to them that time, then I will, now here's his list. I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Wow, is there anything greater that we need than this? Now, this conditional promise once a long time ago hit a former U.S. president right in the gut, like a ton of bricks, when he read it. And then when he read it, he decided he was going to do something about it. And this is what he did. By the President of the United States, a proclamation, whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God and all the affairs of men and of nations, has, by a resolution, requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence on the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12. And inasmuch as we know that by his divine laws, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people? We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown. But we have forgotten God, Abraham Lincoln said. Amen. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, capital P, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Now, therefore, in compliance with the request and fully occurring in the views of the Senate, I do, by this proclamation, designate and set apart the 30th day of April, 1863, as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And I do hereby request all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their places of worship and their respective homes and keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to humble discharge of their religious duties proper to that solemn occasion. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high
and answered with blessings, no less than the pardon of our national sins and the restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and praise and peace. In witness thereof, and witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington, the 30th day of March, year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 87th year, by the President Abraham Lincoln and by the Secretary of State William H. Seward. Wow. A day of divine humiliation. The sad thing is that I wrote that sermon probably 10 years ago. And the sad thing is, it's too late for that in this country now. We cannot do that in this country now. Why, you ask? Because there's too many evil people in charge in this country.
Amen.
The evil people got to be rooted up by the roots. You want to do something about it, then you got to make a change and you got to rid the evil. People have tried to do that, but you're seeing here all around you today, evil is in charge and ruling this United States. This is an evil country. This is an evil country. I've preached that sermon two or three times in here, and each time we've got on our knees and pray. And I put it to you on this 6th of December, 2020. I can't in good faith lead this church in that prayer anymore. I can in good faith say we need to rip up the evil by the roots here and get rid of the evil people that are running this country.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You have tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in it.
In this day.
Yes, Friday.
Yes, Friday morning. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah.
All week we've been talking about possessing your possession. So we hope that you hear the voice behind the voice.
Because yes.
There's another voice that's speaking behind our voice.
Yes.
So we hope that you hear the voice behind the voice for your situation, your call, the vision that you were sent in the earth to manifest, to possess your possession. Do not despise small beginnings.
I love that, Pastor Dye.
Mm-hmm.
Because we said it earlier this week. What did God say?
What did God say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can say, Pastor Dice said,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Harold said.
Mm-hmm.
But here we ask you now, what did God say?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the voice behind the voice?
Mm-hmm.
What did God say?
Mm-hmm.
And whatsoever God say to you, do it.
Do it. Mm-hmm.
You remember Mary?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came on the scene, Mary says to the people, whatsoever he says, go do it.
Go do it. Mm-hmm.